hope everyone is comfortable and relaxed. Look, the last thing I want to do is just come here with your Christian thing. You know, we come to church, sing a few songs, listen to a message, go out and carry on like nothing else has happened. So this is such a key time for us in a week. And I think this is probably one of the very few times that we can sit still as a community and say, God, all distractions out of the way. We want to really focus on what you are saying. We're going to open our hearts. We don't want to be religious, tick the box, yeah, I went to church, but really to have open hearts before God and say, God, this is open, full access, God. And it's so important that we ready our hearts for what God wants to do. It's so important. I'll just ask Rachel to come up quickly and share. Before the meeting, we always have a prayer meeting, and just give us a quick summary of what you felt for this morning's prayer meeting.
Morning. We had a pre-service prayer meeting this morning, and I was preparing for the prayer meeting, and that's something a bit novel. How to prepare for a prayer meeting is you pray. Lord, I pray for the meeting. Anyway, in my devotions this week, I read from Psalm 65, and it really blessed me, and I think it will you as well. It says, praise awaits you, our God in Zion. To you, our vows will be fulfilled. You who answer prayer, to you all people will come. And I just thought, what I long for in my own spirit life is for me to be able to hear God just as easy as breathing or the things that we just do regularly every day. And it occurred to me that that's not the case. Right now for me, I quite often, I come before the Father saying, Lord, speak to me. And the response in my spirit when I said that to God yesterday was that I have never stopped speaking. And if I can't hear from him, it's because my heart has less inclined to hear from him. So for whatever reason, my heart and my mind and my hearing is not inclined towards the Father. And so taking that as an encouragement, I said to the Lord, you speak, I listen. And it's as easy as just breathing. You know, as my breath comes in and goes out, I hear from God. And yet there's times when we don't feel that. And to try and address that little bit of a blockage that's between me and God, I feel, for me this weekend was really important. So just to take that as an encouragement, God is always speaking to me and to you. We know that in Old Testament he spoke through all the heroes that we read about in the Old Testament, thinking about Adam and Noah and Abraham. They all heard from God. Moses heard from God and had the burning bush experience. Well, we don't have that. I'm not saying there would never be another one, but today we have Holy Spirit. And asking him, waiting on him, we can have the confidence today that we hear from him. And knowing that we hear from him, there's some comforts in the fact that I know that when he speaks, it'll never be contrary to his word. And that will always be to give him back the glory. And so we want to have that living, breathing, active faith with the Father, where we know that we can be confident that we've heard from him. And I think that the way he speaks sometimes in the hearts of you and I is with an unction, with a quickening. And what I shared with the prayer meeting this morning was that if we pass it through the filter, is it in line with the word of God, and also is it glorifying to him? And if that is coupled with a very strong impulse or unction to share that, then we shouldn't be afraid. Because I think often fear holds us back from really hearing from God. So the voice of the world is sometimes so much louder than the Spirit speaking. And so today I've chosen, and from this day onwards, just to step into a little bit more of that, inclining my heart towards the Father. And I know that Andre has a word for us this morning, and that he would like us to incline our hearts just so that we get the most out of his message today.
Thanks, Rachel. So I was just thinking about, that's beautiful. And look, that's my prayer for today, is that we will do that. We'll draw close to God. We'll really hear what he's saying. But before I do, I have to get this out of the way. When Mark spoke about the mask, you're going to wear your mask at church. And I saw Justin laughing. Not a Batman mask. Right. No Batman suits, nothing like that. If you wear stockings over your face, we think you're going to rob us. Don't that as well. It's not going to work. I can see that happening. Anyway, so last week we had Vessel share about how God guides us. And it was quite hilarious in some of the pictures that he used with that. So I'm going to carry on in terms of how God guides us. But take a different slant. And look, the scripture that I'm using today is quite a heavy scripture. And it's not an easy scripture to share. But I feel qualified to share this because I've actually experienced this. So it's fairly easy. So if it feels like the scripture is punching you, I'll talk about myself and it'll make it easier for you to listen. But I think the main thing we have to get out of today is that God is a loving Father. He's concerned about our lives. He's concerned about decisions we're making. And he knows that sometimes we worry. He knows that sometimes we're anxious. We know that, you know, we don't know how things are going to work out. And we have to make our plans, our own plans, and we can't see God moving. And then we go in a direction because we worry. But it's not God's plan. And so I want to talk about that today, how God guides and leads us. But yeah, it just is hard for us that he's always wanting to draw close to us. He always wants to lead and guide us. But we are not always ready to hear, you know, like Rachel said. We're not always ready to hear because we make a decision, we make a plan, and that's settled. And we can become quite stubborn after we've made a decision that we're not going to change that, especially if we are led by our feelings. And I think it's such an important thing that these days, all the media, all the advertising is just highlighting your emotions and your feelings. That whatever decision you make, go to your feelings and go to your emotions and be led by that. And that is completely what you must not do. Because not all feelings and all your emotions are instigated or driven by God. We live in a world where the devil is very real, and he can also influence your feelings and your emotions. So whatever feeling or emotion you've got, fear, worry, you know what, put that through the filter that Rachel spoke about. Say, God, this is the feeling or emotion, but I want you to have the final authority over that emotion or feeling, and not just to be led by ourselves. So the scripture I'm going to use today is Isaiah 30. And look, there's no easy way of getting into it. I'll just read it. If you want to cry, it's okay. We have toilet paper. That's all right. So Isaiah 30, and I'll start from verse 1. And it says, "Ho to the obstinate children, declares the Lord, to those who carry out plans that are not mine, forming an alliance but not by my spirit, heaping sin upon sin, who go down to Egypt without consulting me, who look for help to Pharaoh's protection, to Egypt's shade for refuge. But Pharaoh's protection will be to you, your shame. Egypt's shade will bring you disgrace. Though they have officials in Zoan and their envoys have arrived in Haines, everyone will be put to shame because of a people useless to them, who bring neither help nor advantage, but only shame and disgrace, an oracle concerning the animals of Negev. Through the land of hardship and distress, of lions and lionesses, of adders and darting snakes, the envoys carry their riches on donkeys' backs, their treasures on humps of camels." So this is the picture of God's people now going off to Egypt, carrying money and gifts and to go to Egypt and say, "Please help us." So this is the route they take. It's dangerous, it's difficult, and they take all these treasures with them. So they're taking that to Egypt. "To Egypt, whose help is utterly useless, therefore I call her Rahab the do-nothing. Go now, write it on a tablet for them, inscribe it on a scroll, that for the days to come it may be an everlasting witness. These are rebellious people, deceitful children, children unwilling to listen to the Lord's instruction. They say to the seers, see no more visions, and to the prophets, give us no more visions of what is right. Tell us pleasant things, prophesy illusions, leave this way, get off this path, and stop confronting us with the Holy One of Israel. Therefore, this is what the Holy One of Israel says. Because you have rejected this message, relied on oppression, and depended on deceit, this sin will become for you like a high wall, cracked and bulging, that collapses suddenly in an instant. It will break in pieces like pottery, shattered so mercilessly that among its pieces not a fragment will be found. For taking coals from a hearth or scooping water out of a cistern, this is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says. In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength, but you would have none of it. You said, no, we will flee on horses, therefore you will flee. You said, we will ride off on swift horses, therefore your pursuers will be swift. 1,000 will flee of a threat of one, and of a threat of five you will flee away, till you are left like a flagstaff on a mountaintop, like a banner on a hill. Yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. He rises to show you compassion, for the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all who wait for him. O people of Zion, who live in Jerusalem, you will weep no more. How gracious he will be when you cry for help. As soon as he hears, he will answer you. Although the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, your teachers will be hidden no more. With your own eyes you will see them. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Then you will defile your idols, overlaid with silver, and your images covered with gold. You will throw them away like a menstrual cloth and say to them, away with you. I'm going to stop there. We'll carry on a little bit later. But just to summarize this picture quickly. So God's people, they are really worried because this nation Assyria is going to attack them. They'll destroy them. And they think, far out, we have to make a plan. So let's go, we try and form an alliance. We'll go to Egypt. They've got lots of horses and chariots and soldiers. We'll approach them. We'll give them money and gifts and gold and whatever so that they can protect us against Assyria. Now, is that a sin? I don't think so. Just before, have a look at your own circumstance quickly. Let's say you're in danger and you phone the police. Is that a sin? No, it's not. So it's such a tricky gray area. And I think we can so quickly justify our actions of making our own plan. If you think about it, if you're worried, if something's going to go down and you make your own plan, I think, far out, I had to make a plan at some stage, you know? And we don't see that as sin. But maybe what you were doing is not God's plan. But this didn't start in Isaiah. When we see in Genesis already, Adam and Eve, they thought, we'll make our own plan. There's this tree that looks lovely, and I think I'll just have some of that. And we can see the result of that is death, destruction, broken relationships. We can carry on to Exodus. God says, Moses, come up the mountain. I want to give you some rules that you can live by. Moses go up the mountain. And this is after God led them out of slavery with miracles and signs and wonders. And they approach here and say, look, this Moses guy, he's not coming back. He's been away for a while. So why don't we make our own gods? And Aaron said, that's a clever idea. Give me all your earrings and gold, and I will make a golden calf. We worship that. That is now our God, and the calf will lead us out. How clever is that? And God sees this, and he says, Moses, you better go down to the people because trouble is coming. I'm going to destroy them. And Moses said, please not. But after, read the story. I think there's an age restriction on that, but there is just blood, and people die when we do that. So we see this pattern unfolding where God's people want to make their own plans, and it is really not an easy thing to go through. But let me tell you quickly my story, and I think I've shared bits and pieces to some people about this. And you can be in one of two positions with this scripture. You can either be right in the middle where you're busy making plans that is not God's, and you're not aware of it. Okay? So you're unaware of God's plan. You stepped in, you're making your own plans, but you're not aware that you are not following God's plan. So that's one position. The other position, so that will be helpful for you today to listen to this. So the next one is, you've gone through this, you got the lesson, and you are very wise and careful in how you proceed with future plans. Okay? Or you feel, look, it doesn't really apply to me. Well, just take it. It's good advice. I'm going to save you a lot of heartache today. So what happened with me is I went through this whole Isaiah in an experience. So quickly what happened, I'll just give you a short summary of that. I was in a job. I thought there's another position that came available, more money. How can that not be God's will for my life? So I just assumed, obviously I'll apply for this new job. Got the job, no problem. And after probably a year, things start to crumble. Things start to go pear-shaped. So I just assumed, how can this not be part of God's plan? More money, people look fine, just move to a different place, and that's it. Anyway, after a year, I lost my job, and things start to crumble. So it says in verse 12, it says, therefore, this is what the Holy One of Israel says, because you have rejected this message, relied on oppression, this sin will become for you like a high wall, cracking and bulging that collapses suddenly in an instant. So God says, all these plans that you made, it's almost like a high wall, a massive wall that's starting to crack. But that thing is going to collapse and there will be nothing left. So I went through that. The wall collapsed. There was nothing left. And I sat there and I thought, oh, far out. What must I do? So for 6 months, I was without work. And I tried every plan that I had to find a job. And I just nothing. Just absolutely nothing. Every plan, every idea just went to nothing. So I got to a place where I think, far out, God, I just had enough. I surrender completely. I don't know what's going on. So I was sitting before God and said, God, show me what is going on. Is there sin in my life? What did I do wrong? Why is nothing working? And when you go through that for 6 months, it feels like 6 years probably. And until I got to a place where I surrendered and I said, God, you have to show me what is going on. What am I doing wrong? You know, why is nothing working? And so I spent days just before God and I was just reading the Bible and I said, God, just show me what is it. God took me to this Isaiah 30. And woe to the obstinate children, declares the Lord, to those who carry out plans that are not mine. And in the moment when I read that, it's almost like God took my head and I couldn't take my eyes off that verse. I just couldn't take my eyes off that verse. It's like God said, that's it. That is it, declares the Lord. Those who carry out plans that are not mine. And I thought, oh my goodness. That is it. That is it. Did I commit a massive sin that I know of? No. I carry out plans. That's not God's plans. And before that, I thought, wow, this is quite serious. But I spent, it felt like hours that I couldn't move my eyes from that scripture. It was almost like God hold my head and say, yeah, it was almost like a puppy. When you teach a puppy not to wee somewhere, and you push his nose in the wee, and you give him a hiding with newspaper. That's how they told us how to treat a dog or how to teach a puppy. And it almost felt like God did that to me. And he pushed my nose into the scripture and gave me a hiding and said, come on, you know, don't forget that verse. Don't forget that scripture. And he put my face in that scripture for hours that it felt like. And he says, don't do that again. And, you know, to be honest, I'm so grateful that God did that. Because I thought, far out, God, you shut all the doors. You took everything away. There was no way to make another plan. And I'm so grateful that you did that. Because in that way, I could see what I was doing. And I gave the opportunity to return to God. And it wasn't easy. And as I went through that whole chapter, the first one is, declares the Lord, those who carry out plans that are not mine. And obstinate children, stubbornly refusing to change one's opinion or chosen course of action despite attempts to persuade one to do so. That's what that means. So today, you can have that attitude, and that's why you will leave here. So you can decide, look, that is not, I've made my plan, I've made my decision, I think I'm right, I can justify it, I'll carry on. Well, I'm very sorry for you, but it's not going to go well. You know, so God wants you to change your mind if that is the case. Then verse 2 says, who go down to Egypt without consulting me. And I think during that time, and I think I even spoke to Mark during that time about it, and, you know, we can be so religious and say, of course I've prayed about it, you know. And that is the religious answer because, look, I've made a decision. I'll carry on in the path that I've chosen. If God chooses to bring up a banner or warn me, yeah, of course I will listen to him. But have I really approached God and said, God, what is it that I need to do? No, I didn't. So I just probably gave the religious answer, of course it's God's plan. How can it not be? You know, I just justified it. And it is so important that whatever decision we make in life, that we go and consult God and not just carry on a plan that we think is right. Then jumping to verse 12 that I've just read, and he says, because you have rejected this message, this sin will become for you like a high wall, cracked and bulging, that collapses suddenly in an instant. And that happened. It was cracked and it was bulging and it collapsed. That's why I was at. So at that point, you can ignore God and carry on. And God says it's like heaping sin upon sin upon sin. Or you can accept it and turn to God. Verse 15 says, this is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel says. In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. Turn to me, trust me. That is where your strength is. So, you know, while I was preparing for this, I just saw, like, God's got a massive map. So you just imagine that banner as a map for your life. And there's a map for every person here where God says, at this time, I want you to be there. And I want you to live there. And I want you to stay there. Then I want you to move later on. And that's where I want you to be. So God's got a plan for our lives exactly from the beginning of time. And it is so important that we can push God's plan away and say, God, I'll just follow my own plan in the way that I think what I need to do. The difficult thing is there's not a rule book for your life, for your plan. You can say, exactly when I'm turning 35, I need to do this, or I need to do this job. But we have to be Spirit-led. And God placed Spirit-led people in the church that we can talk to and get advice and just have an honest and sincere heart before God. That is the main thing. And then the other section that God took me to was verse 15. So just before that, in repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. And when I got there, I thought, wow, God is so amazing and he's so graceful. And then he carries on, but you would have none of it. And I thought, far out. That is true. I would have none of it. So I've made my decision. I've made my move. I've did whatever I did in terms of jobs. And I would have none of it. It's just rejecting God and saying, God, no, I don't trust you. I'll go down to Egypt and I'll trust on their chariots and horses and protection. And that can be for anything in your life, any major decision, what you're doing. It is so careful that you don't run ahead and you can so easily justify your own decision. But you have, would have none of it. And God left me there a little bit as well for a while to make sure I don't forget that. Then jump to verse 18 and it says, yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. Therefore, he will rise up to show you compassion, for the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all who wait for him. And the amazing thing about God is even if you reject God, he's still gracious and he still will come back to you and say, I'm open. You know, in repentance and quietness is your strength. even if we reject him. Verse 19, how gracious he will be when you cry for help. As soon as he hears, he will answer you. And the amazing story is, I can testify that that is absolutely true. As soon as you surrender, as soon as you say to God, I give up, and you see what it is that you've done, and you surrender and you turn to God, he will answer you. So what happened for 6 months without a job? And I can remember the afternoon where I got to this scripture and I thought, far out. And I repented and I said, God, forgive me. I can see what I've done. I'll never do it again. The next day, I had a phone call and I got an interview. And just the weirdest thing. So it was, look, I probably applied for hundreds of jobs, can't remember. And the thing is, you apply for jobs, sometimes they don't let you know, sometimes they do, they come back to you, you never know. I mean, some people came back to me like 2 or 3 months afterwards and said, okay, this is now available or not. I was like, wow, 3 months, thanks for nothing. And anyway, next day, I had a phone call from something that I applied for weeks ago. And the HR lady said, look, can you come in for an interview? I said, yep, tomorrow. Next day, went for an interview. And I was about to see the HR manager. And I got to the company and she said, look, you're actually in luck, because we've got all the directors here as well, so they can just join in with the interview. Okay, you know, whatever, let's do it. And in the interview, they asked me lots of questions, and they look a bit puzzled, you know, because I actually applied for something that doesn't really suit me. But out of desperation, I just applied for it anyway. So they were asking me questions, and the MD was sitting there, and I was going nowhere, and they said, oh, look, it can probably work, I don't know. And then the MD says, but why don't you apply for this other position that we've got? And I said, what position is that? Is it the one that suits all your experience and all your things that you've done through your life? I mean, we're looking for someone like that. And I said, well, what is that? So he explained to me the other position that's available. It turns out that the HR manager never posted the second position. And I got that position without even anyone applying for it. So just amazing how God works in these things, you know. So there I got the job. Anyway, so God hears us and he responds very quickly as soon as we turn to him. And he said, blessed are all who wait for him. How gracious he will be when you cry for help. As soon as he hears, he will answer you. Verse 20, although the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, your teachers will be hidden no more. With your own eyes you will see them. Verse 21, whether you turn to the right or the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. And I think what's happening in Isaiah here, they're looking forward to a time when Jesus will come. He will send the Holy Spirit. And we will hear a voice behind us, this is the way, walk in it, when we open our hearts to God. So what is the Holy Spirit saying about your plans at the moment? I mean, we all got plans. So in our conversation as a family, we've got plans to buy a little wooden cabin in the mountains of Switzerland. Don't think it's going to happen soon. I think that's just more talking. But seriously, just coming back again, we all got plans. You know, where we want to live, where we want to work, what we want to do with our kids, where we want to send them, and the list can go on. The list can go on. And it's so important that we review those decisions and those plans and make sure that we are following God's plan and not just our own plan that sounds nice and looks nice, and that's what we want to do. I think the hard part is that when you're close to the action, when the bullets are flying and you're in a desperate situation, it's very, very difficult to see God's plan. It is very difficult. You know, when it's tight financially or whatever is happening, if you're in the battle, it is very difficult to see, okay, I'll step out, I'll take a few bullets or whatever. It's very difficult then to see, to change your decision and say, God, I don't know what to do, but I'm going to step away, I'm going to trust you, I'm going to wait for you. It's very difficult to do that. So I'm not standing here today and judging and blaming and, oh, you losers, you're not following God's plans, you know, you're bad. I'm not saying that. I know how difficult it is that when you're busy with a plan and you cannot see God's plan is to continue with your plan. It happens very quickly. And my prayer, my hope this morning is that God will give us hope and strength that if we're at that place, that we've got the boldness to change that or to wait for Him. So maybe you can listen to this and say, yep, look, I've done that. I've learned the lesson. Let's carry on. Or you can maybe say, look, I have never followed God's plan. I've always just done my own thing, what I think is right, because I am actually quite clever. So maybe you're at a place where you've never followed God's plan. And today is a new start where God says, draw close to me in quietness and rest. There's rest in God. We can trust Him. And maybe you are realizing that, far out, I'm actually busy with a plan that is not God's plan. And now is the time to stop and review your plan and say, God, this is my plan. I don't want to carry on if it's not your plan. So those are the stages where we can be at. And just this other thing, when I went through my notes this morning, I think there might be people here that says, I actually don't believe you. I actually don't believe that God's got a plan. And that is a difficult thing that I cannot convince you, but I hope God can convince you of that. That the Holy Spirit will open your heart and show you that God cares about you, God loves you, He's got a plan for your future, and you can trust Him with that. So this is what God is saying. This is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says. In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. Yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. Therefore, He will rise up to show you compassion. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all who wait for Him. How gracious He will be when you cry for help. As soon as He hears, He will answer you. The danger is that you can leave here today and say, I will have none of it. I will have none of it. And I hope it's not that. I hope that is not your response. But I hope your response is, yes, God, I want to draw close to you. I want to mention this as well, Isaiah 50, verse 10. And this is my go-to scripture from that back from that time as well. And it says, who among you fears the Lord and obeys the word of His servant? Let the one who walks in the dark, who has no light, trust in the name of the Lord and rely on their God. But now, all you light fires and provide yourselves with flaming torches, go walk in the light of your fires and of the torches you have set ablaze. This is what you shall receive from my hand. You will lie down in torment. And when it says, let the one who walks in the dark, who has no light, it doesn't talk about you walking in sin. It talks about you don't know what's coming next. You don't know where to do. You don't know what the next step is. And God says, please don't light your own fire, but wait for me. And the best is just then to wait. I want to read quickly. So this happened to Israel, to Judah, and then they were on their way to Egypt. And at that stage, there were two responses. Either they're going to trust in God, or they're going to carry on to Egypt. And this is God's response. So we carry on to, I'll just pick up from verse 31 from Isaiah 30. And it says, the voice of the Lord will shatter Assyria. With His scepter He will strike them down. Every stroke the Lord lays on them with His punishing rod will be to the music of tambourines and harps as He fights them in battle with the blows of His arm. Topheth has long been prepared. It has been made ready for the king. Its fire pit has been made deep and wide with abundance of fire and wood. The breath of the Lord, like a stream of burning sulfur, set it ablaze. And you know what? When these guys were sitting making a decision, do we go to Egypt or not? They were probably very afraid. And this is what God is saying. You know what? Assyria might look very dangerous, and you might be very fearful, but this is what I will do to them. This is what God will do to your enemy. And we carry on. Isaiah 31, it says, woe to those who go down to Egypt for help, who rely on horses, who trust in the multitude of their chariots and in the great strength of their horsemen, but do not look to the Holy One of Israel or seek help from the Lord. Yet he too is wise and can bring disaster. He does not take back his words. He will rise up against the house of the wicked, against those who help evildoers. But the Egyptians are men and not God. Their horses are flesh and not spirit. When the Lord stretches out his hand, he who helps will stumble, and he who is helped will fall. Both will perish together. This is what the Lord says to me. So although your plan looks like it's a good plan and it will work, at the end, it's not going to work out. So this is what God says. And this is such an important verse. As a lion growls, a great lion over his prey, and though a whole band of shepherds is called together against him, he is not frightened by their shouts or disturbed by their clamor. So the Lord Almighty will come down to do battle on Mount Zion and on its heights. So what it is saying is, if you can picture this, a big male lion. I'm not sure if you've seen a lion in real life, but they are massive. And the thing about their eyes is they look through you. They are not scared. They're not bothered by anything, really, to be honest. And if you can picture this, they've killed something, or not, they killed something, like a lion hovers over their prey. You're not going to move a lion from that. And I don't want to go and touch a lion that's doing that. In that same way, God will protect you. God is over you, and he will be with you, and he'll protect you. In the same way, a lion growls and sits over his prey. That's a beautiful picture. If you think about that, whatever your enemy looks like or the plan that you're worried about, that in the background, God will protect you and be with you and be over you like a lion growling over his prey. And it carries on. He's not frightened. Like birds hovering overhead, the Lord Almighty will shield Jerusalem. He will shield it and deliver it. He will pass over it and will rescue it. Return to him. You have so greatly revolted against Israel. For in that day, every one of you will reject the idols of silver and gold your sinful hands have made. Assyria will fall by a sword that is not of man. A sword not of mortals will devour them. They will flee before the sword, and the young men will be put to forced labor. The strongholds will fall because of terror. At a sight of battle standard, the commanders will panic, declares the Lord. Those fire is in Zion, whose fire is in Zion, whose furnace is in Jerusalem. And it just paints a picture of what God, how he protects his people, and what will happen to the enemy that's trying to harm God's people. So in the same way, we can make decisions, make our own plans, and be worried because of that, and carry on. But I want you to remind you that God is like a growling lion over you. He will protect you. And the worst thing that can happen is we lose hope, we become impatient, and we make our own plans, and we carry on our own way. And so I want to urge you today is to take time and think about what I've seen. Think about Isaiah 30. The advantage that you've got is this is a warning. You can change. Don't be like me who didn't see it coming and had to learn the hard way. Don't be obstinate. Don't refuse to change when God is trying to change something. So I'm going to pray for us. And look, I'm not the mediator. It's between you and God. But I want to pray a blessing over you. And if you feel anything like plans you've made in the past, it's easy. Repent. Turn back to God, you know. God is gracious. He's quick to listen. Review what I've said and take it on board. So I want to pray. While I do that, you just draw close to God. Open your heart. Don't reject him, but draw close to him. I want to thank you, Father, that you are so good to us. I want to thank you that we can sometimes be so confused and see this meek and mild Jesus hanging on a cross. But Father, actually, you are all-powerful, almighty, trustworthy, loving, kind, and we can trust you completely. I want to thank you, God, that you've got a plan for every person who sits here. You've got a detailed map of our lives set out before us, and you're in control of that. And your main purpose is to do us good, is to be close to us, to lead us, to guide us, to bless us, and to make known to us this mystery of what Jesus done on the cross for us. So God, if there's anyone here today who has stepped out and followed their own plan, rejected your plan, I want to pray just for a softness of God, for a willingness to humble, for a willingness to surrender and say, God, I want to follow your plan. And just where you're at now, just with God, I mean, if that is you, just make it right with God and say, God, I want to follow your plan, not my plan. And if it's that I need to wait, help me, give me the patience to wait. I don't want to rush ahead. I don't want to light my own flame to make a way because I'm worried or I'm anxious. I want to thank you, God, that you are quick to respond. You hear our cry for help. I want to thank you that in repentance and rest is our salvation. That we don't have to strive. We don't have to try and live holy lives and then think God will bless us. God says in repentance and trust. So God, we want to do that this morning. We want to, if it's necessary, repent and trust you and come close to you and say we need your help for whatever reason. And we want to commit our plans to you and say, God, we don't want to carry on if it's not your plan. Will you come and speak to us? Will you come and show us, Lord God, what to do? Come and have your way this morning, Lord God. I want to thank you, Father, that you are so loving, you are so kind. And I want to pray for people who is in a stage where they're in a plan or they're not sure what to do. That God, they'll take time to be quiet, to pull back and be quiet and take time and just seek your guidance, seek your plan. Will you give us patience, Lord God, to do that? Will you give us boldness? It's not easy that when you're in battle to stop and just trust on God. It's not easy. God, you know how we are made. You know our faults. You know our failures. And so I pray that you give us strength and the ability just to trust you, to have faith, to draw close to you, Lord God. Father, I want to pray that you bless every person here today. Bless every person in their relationships, in their finances, in their walk with you. Jesus, will you just reach into our hearts this morning and will you light a little flame so that we will have a desire to get to know you more and more and more and more. I want to thank you for the amazing plans you've got for us. Amen.